Hello again and welcome back. My name is Chris and I am your host. With me tonight are Dan.
Hey.
Tiff.
Hi.
And Dean.
I'm right here.
He is actually right here. We're next to each other today. It's weird. We're recording this in the same room. The force was strong with this one until Dean did that, but
I'm already uncomfortable.
You're uncomfortable. I'm sitting next to the guy.
You brought that on yourself.
It's true. I did. Anyway, tonight we're talking about Star Wars games. Are we the true masters of Taras Kasi? Find out right now. Welcome to the Stone Age Gamer. Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Stone Age Gamer podcast. This is episode 47, and it's a very special episode indeed. Tonight is going live. The episode we're recording tonight is going to go live on May 4th, which is Star Wars Day. For anybody who has a lisp, May the 4th be with you.
Get it? Get yeah. it? Because it sounds like
get
force.
It. May
Shut
the 4th.
Should
be followed with Revenge of the 5th.
and then right after that comes May 6th.
So, you know, yay.
May 7th, The Force Awakens.
Hey, Chris, remember when we said we were going to keep this tight?
Yeah.
That didn't happen.
That ain't happening. So tonight we're talking about our favorite Star Wars games, and there are lots of them of varying levels of quality and genre. So this is going to be... There's a lot to talk about. So, Dean, why don't you let us start us off? Dean, let's jump in. What is your game? Talk to us about Star Wars games now, please.
I want to talk about Pimp Your Ride, Chewbacca's strip shop. Yeah,
that's a good one.
Yeah, that's my favorite.
One. What was that on ColecoVision?
Yeah, ColecoVision and what was the Panasonic one that they had? There had to be one of those.
Yeah, 3DO.
3DO, there we go. Yeah, it was on 3DO and Jaguar.
Isn't it currently on the virtual console as well?
Yeah, it's on the virtual console. You can buy it for...
Just the Wii virtual console, though. It's not on Wii U or 3DS. It's only available with Wii points.
Yeah, you can buy it for $69.69.
I'm trying so hard to put together a joke about Ice Cube and...
It's Exhibit. Exhibit.
It is Exhibit, so I don't have to put that joke together. I'm like, how can I get Toth in here? Toth.
Wow. Who's Toth?
Daniel Tosh.
I'm a little...
Daniel Tosh? Talking about Toph from Avatar The Last Airbender?
No, Hoth. Hoth. Ice Cube. But since neither Toth nor Ice Cube have anything to do with Pimp My Ride, I don't have to make this joke. Yay!
Or Hoth, yeah. Okay, so that happened. Chris, I'm sorry. Anyway, I want to talk about Jedi Power Battles for the PlayStation. Yeah, PlayStation. Original PlayStation. PSX. Because that's what they call it. That's what the hip kids are calling it. You're basically a Jedi and you fight others, I think.
Are you basically a Jedi?
Yeah.
Are you a basic Jedi?
Yeah,
you're not one of those complicated Jedi?
No. Nah,
you're so basic.
Because, you're a basic bitch, you know? Whatever, it's cool. But you could pick all, like, the Jedis. You get to be, like, the ones that they just made action figures out of, and then they have, like, Mace Windu
the
and
The ones that
Obi-Wan.
Just, like, we're sitting in the background council in episode one.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Like, one of them's got, like...
All of you fuck off. Plo Koon is the coolest.
Yeah, Plo Koon. Yeah.
You know what? You know what
was Kit Fisto in there?
Yes.
Yeah, Kit Fisto.
Yeah, well, that was the thing that got me. Like, they had these backstories for them and stuff, and I was like, bro, that guy had like half a line. I think all he did was stare awkwardly.
Know is that in the extended universe, there is a 9-part book series devoted to that guy that had one line.
Get out of here, really?
Probably.
Oh,
don't
have you ever
probably.
Seen the Star Wars section at your local bookstore?
Okay, look, first of all, Star Wars fans are pretty hardcore, so if you're going to be saying stuff like
I'm
that,
I'm not making
fact,
fun.
No,
I'm stating the fact.
That is fact. That is 100% fact. There, I'm sure that there's a book somewhere or even like some sort of 19-part fan fiction online about the fucking trash can droid in A New Hope.
I love the trash can droid.
Anyway, I don't know. It was basically Smash Bros with lightsabers, from what I remember.
It was more Double Dragon. It was a beat 'em up, right? Jedi Power Battles? Was
yeah. Well, I think you could fight each other too. I think that was an
option. I think there was a versus mode
and,
in it. But...
And that's what I remember a lot of was like a lot of the platforming and stuff just was, it was a scaled down level at that point. It was fun and everything. It was cool. Mainly what I liked about it was before this, what I remembered was all the Jedis having a blue or a green lightsaber, but not in this fucking game. Motherfuckers had purple. They had gold. There were some red ones. There were, of course, there were green and blue ones too, and that's mainly what they were. But there were those other colors too, which made it look like goddamn Skittles, and it made me happy.
It was actually sponsored by Popsicle, the game. It was a product placement tie-in.
I couldn't tell if you were being serious or not for a second.
You know, honestly, for the time period, nothing would surprise me.
Especially considering that I purchased a game for Chris that is about Skittles.
Ah, yes.
Wow.
Darkened Sky.
Yep.
What? I don't want to know. I don't want to know.
Yeah, you do.
Why is there a duck being strangled?
Sorry, our dog is killing his toy. I'm going to go kill the dog now.
Why don't you give him a Chewie and put him in the crate?
A Chewie! Chewbacca! Yes! Well done.
My whole life, I've never been able to make a Chewie sound. It's one of the greater disappointments of my life.
I don't think many people can make a Chewie sound.
I can't do it. I sometimes do it accidentally when I yawn.
Good enough.
It's about the best I got. Yeah, Jedi Power Battles was cool. I actually had the Dreamcast version. The PlayStation version was cool. Yeah, the Dreamcast one was pretty rad. We used to play that at my Funko Land all the time. We would bust up multiplayer and try to get through all the missions.
It was a fun game. I really enjoyed it. And I mean, co-op back then was always a big deal with like everything you did. I remember buying Rampage for the PlayStation
1. Oh, dude, that game was awesome.
Yeah, it was. But you know what I didn't realize?
Especially the Star Wars version.
Yeah, totally.
Star Wars Rampage.
Which is what we're here to discuss.
Yeah, Rampage Edition. Well,
Jurassic Park Rampage Edition for Genesis, but Star Wars.
Thanks for reining me in there, because I was about to be like, you know how many levels were in that game? Fucking blue. Anyway, yeah.
Thanks for reining me in, and now I'm going to say the thing I was going to say any goddamn way.
Yeah, but now it's out of context, so it doesn't matter.
It's Dean Unleashed.
Yeah.
Like
very
the Force
much
Unleashed.
Like Star Wars Unleashed.
The Falcon was Unleashed.
Oh, shit.
Marge Unleashed.
Yeah, well, the toys were just Star Wars Unleashed.
That's right, yeah. Dude, those were awesome.
Those were awesome.
Those things were awesome.
The Obi-Wan Anakin lava fight one.
and the
Vader
Yoda,
Vader coming down the stairs all cape akimbo.
Yeah, those things were amazing. I love those figures.
Anyway, that's my game. Star Wars, Jedi Power Battles, Jedi batter other Jedi and droids and shit. And it was fun. Play it. I dare you, you motherfuckers.
Wow. Dean has joined the dark side today.
Wow, holy crap. It actually got 4 degrees colder in here when he started talking about that. Yeah, Jedi Power Battles was a cool game. Like I said before, I remember playing the crap out of this with my friends at work. The platforming was a little off, but it was a really fun game. The biggest problem that I had with it was a problem I had with a lot of, especially later Star Wars games too, was the fact that the lightsabers were never as powerful as they were in the movies. And I guess it's kind of like equivalent to making a Superman game. You know, you can't really make a good Superman game because he's basically invincible. So how do you lose? Like, and
well,
if
and
you have
a
lightsaber,
that would be a really short and boring beat 'em up if you got touched once and died.
Yeah, like they can't cut through stormtroopers. So you're pounding away at stormtroopers with your lightsaber, and instead of limbs and parts flying off of them, they're just like getting beat up.
They've really upgraded their armor, I've heard.
Yes, yes.
Well, it's one of the problems that
we got to get one of those new armor piercing lightsabers.
Well, when you see it, because I think in Jedi Power Battles there were like certain sections that they borrowed from the movies, so you're sticking your lightsaber like through a big heavy fuck off door, but then it's just kind of glancing gently off of a stormtrooper's shoulder. You know,
yeah,
and this is going to be a ridiculous sentence, but it sort of ruins the believability of the game.
I don't remember that. I remember doing that in that Star Wars Episode 1 PlayStation 1 game.
Maybe they set their
maybe that's what it was.
You got to watch out where you put your lightsabers.
Maybe they set their lightsabers to stun.
Wrong universe.
Oh, Jesus.
I can mix my universes if I want.
Set your lightsabers to gently glance.
Or like sunburn.
Christ.
Set your lightsabers to bug zap.
Hi-ya!
So let's go on.
Yes, moving on. Tiff, what's your game?
Hard Night.
That's a good great game. I love that one. Star Wars.
The droid AA. Oh, fuck. Never mind. God damn it.
The drive.
Swing and a miss.
Wing and a miss.
Okay. My game, I have a very narrow focus to my game because episode one was terrible. We're all aware that that's terrible. That's nothing new that we need to discuss on a podcast. I feel like that's been podcasted quite extensively, that episode one is terrible. We all
10 out of 10.
I find it to be the most watchable of the prequels.
Oh my God, are you wrong? We're not talking about that. We're not talking about that. Okay. So obviously that's terrible. And it was so terrible because everyone was so excited. And then for it to be that terrible was just even more terrible. However, there is a plot part in that movie that is a little odd and disjointed and out of place, and why are we doing this way? And that is the pod racing. Now, I firmly believe in my heart of hearts that the reason that pod racing even exists in episode one is so that this game could exist. And this game is episode one Racer. I hated the pod race in the movie. I'm sorry. I hated the pod race in the movie. I thought it was so stupid. I thought, like, really? All of this.
Oh my God, are you wrong?
Shut up.
Make me.
I will. With logic and cunning and a note from my mother. Just hold on. I thought that it was so stupid that we were basing this huge space opera and the fate of the universe hinges on a race. Like, that just seemed a really dumb... I'm not saying that the actual scene was not fun to watch. I'm saying that it, as a part of the plot, was really stupid.
Listen, if Fast and the Furious can do it, Star Wars can do it, too. In fact, next Fast and the Furious takes place in the Star Wars universe. It's a crossover. Nice. Rock is going to be racing little tiny Anakin. And,
who's going to play Bulbasaur?
Who's gonna play Bulbasaur? I don't know.
Sebulbasaur, which is who I call the bad guy in that scene.
Oh, the little tiny guy with the
that guy.
No, that's Watto.
No. The little guy with the little
walked on his hands and
Sebulba walked on his hands and raced to the evil pod race. Anyway, none of that's important now.
I was gonna go with Jet Li, but okay. with whiskers and clothes.
What is important is that our Lord and Savior of merchandising, George Lucas, is a very smart man when it comes to making the absolute most bucks off of one idea that he possibly can. And I really feel like the inclusion of this in the movie was solely for the purpose of this video game. Now, the original video game came out on PC, and it was great. Then they tried to port it over to the regular systems in 64 and whatnot, and it was less great. Because the N64 couldn't really handle all of that Lucasness, so a lot of the like cinematics and all of that stuff was removed from the N64 game. Enough. Yeah, but in 2000, the Episode One Racer arcade cabinet came out. At
did
a time
you, did you
that
buy
was
one?
Way past when I should have been at arcades.
We
but,
had three,
of course.
I've never really enjoyed going to arcades because I don't know if anybody's know this. I know that we keep this a well-guarded secret, but I'm not fabulous at video games as much as I love them. And I can lose horribly at the comfort of my own couch where the only, you know, I don't have to hide my shame from anyone. I don't need to do that in public and, you know, pay to do it. So I don't frequent arcades all that often, but around this period of time, I did play a lot of pool and my local pool hall got an Episode One Racer arcade cabinet, and it was the greatest thing that was happening to me at the time. Like,
now, which version did they have? Like, did they have the full sit-down version?
They had the sit-on with the dual controls fully. You are on a pod.
Nice.
Racing it. And I, not only am I not great at arcade games, but I'm really not great at racing games. I am terrible at racing games. It's like the worst for me ever. However, Mario Kart on N64 and the arcade cabinet of Episode One Racer, I will go up against anyone any day of the week and twice on Sunday. I rule at those two games.
I'm going to take your word for it because I don't know where I'm going to find one of those cabinets laying around.
Yeah, there's not a lot of them out there these days.
It was so good. And, like, it's so good that the tracks that you race on in the game, I find blows the movie sequence out of the water. I find them so much more interesting and, like, they're just as fluid and the controls were super awesome with, like, the dual, I don't even know what we would call those, levers? There were all kinds of levers and it was so amazing and it was so amazing that it came out of such a shit movie. And I mean, I will say that I think the N64 version does benefit from the loss of the cinematics because the cinematics are things like the really retarded two-headed commentator that...
Yeah,
I mean, that... Oh, like, what are you doing? Like, yeah, that's all...
You can't say that.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. I'm a little inebriated.
Can't say...
I'm sorry. That's a terrible thing to say.
No, shut up. We can say that. This is our show. Do what we want. You're a... Chris is a... Jess is a... Everyone's a... That's the name of this fucking podcast, this episode.
It really shouldn't be. I'm just putting that out there.
So strike that, reverse it. I think the N64 game benefits a lot from the loss of some of the cinematics because the certainly subpar characters like the other Hutts and the two-headed announcer guy from the pod race, like all of those are just reminders that you're enjoying something that's related to episode one. And that makes me feel like shameful and dirty inside. So if you can avoid the cinematic parts, the actual gameplay is just out of this world good. And fun fact, episode one racer currently holds the world record best selling sci-fi racer game of all time in the whole wide world.
That's I gotta say, racing is a pretty niche category already. Sci-fi racing, I don't know how many I can name.
It that category
Extreme
does include
G,
Wipeout and F-Zero.
F-Zero, yeah.
Wipeout.
That's pretty much it.
San Francisco Rush 2049.
Yeah, that one was
yeah,
a gold
valid
one.
Point.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that the reason the pod race was in the movie was far more shallow than I want to sell action figures. George Lucas likes cars. Like, I'm pretty sure I saw that in the commentary for episode one that he's just like, and I remember the pod race scene because I like cars.
Yeah, I mean, he made American Graffiti and that was literally all about cars.
But like, there were no cars in the pod race.
Well, they were space cars.
They were space cars. He likes racing. And that you look at the way the engines rev and everything. And even when they did the DVD release, when they added the extended pod race scene, it's all like engines revving and shit like booting up and whatnot.
Bro, Fast
dude
and the
likes
Furious
cars.
Fucking Tatooine drift. That's what it is, bro.
That's like, dude likes cars. And
I need you to
understand that when I said that I found episode one to be the most watchable of the prequel movies, I am not saying that it is a good movie by any stretch of the imagination.
Okay, but I need you to understand that Revenge of the Sith is awesome.
Okay, you are factually incorrect.
Yeah. No, none of them are.
Revenge
of
the
Sith. Awesome.
A movie with Hayden Christensen, starring Hayden, I hate sand Christensen, is
so
physically
itchy.
Impossible to be
I know,
an
but
awesome
he's
movie.
So emo, it's amazing.
Oh,
that doesn't
God.
Make
I hate you.
I hate you.
Yeah,
you were supposed to be the chosen one.
But Anakin. You're breaking my heart.
All right.
Oh my God.
You're going down a path I can't follow.
These movies had Natalie Portman in it. She
yes,
was the
they
best
did.
Movies.
Yes, she was.
She's a good actress.
Yeah.
So is Ewan McGregor.
Is a good actor.
And like
he
the
says
perfect
thing,
cast
goes,
young Obi-Wan
them.
Kenobi.
He killed
yeah, well,
younglings.
It's done.
Like, what kind of Shakespearean horse shit are you pulling, Ewan?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's oh God. It's so painful. It's so painful. And like episode one, like if you just
all that lava,
if yeah, you just mute episode one. You don't have to pay attention to any of the plot. You got Liam Neeson running around being a Jedi. You got fucking Darth Maul being awesome. You got Ewan McGregor, like, you know, young haircut, no
Sam
beard
Jackson.
And all that jazz. Yeah, Sam Jackson was barely in episode one. If anything, you still had Puppet Yoda, even though it was creepy. Puppet Yoda, it was still Puppet Yoda. And like the fucking Duel of Fates at the end, that whole business at the end is awesome. And, like, all the Gungan shit, like, the Gungan city and everything, is totally fine if they never talk. So if you got it on a mute, it's cool. I mean, hey, kind of cool. Jar Jar's still a fucking clown shoes, but...
Why do they all sound like old school slaves? It's so horrid.
God, if they just didn't talk the way they talked, it would have been such a better movie.
I think
Which
they were going
why...
for Jamaican, and it just got totally fucked up in translation.
It's the worst. But no, the best of the prequels, I'm sorry, but you're all wrong, happens to be episode 2. Mostly because...
Well, we picked all three of them, so...
Yoda and Count Dooku fight. And nothing else in that movie matters. Because as soon as Count Dooku says, this has to be settled with a lightsaber, it is one of the most badass fucking moments in all of fucking film.
It is absolutely
it's
amazing.
So great.
But unfortunately, there's so much pain in that movie.
It erases all of it, though.
It doesn't.
No.
Because the everlasting image of episode 2 is that fucking fireplace scene where he's just like looking at Padme and like those creepy, creepy fucking stalker date rapey eyes. And he's just looking at her like, we can keep it a secret. I will not give in to this. And I'm just like,
I don't even know what you're talking about. I don't remember that part of the movie. You know why? Because Yoda did a bunch of flippy shit with a lightsaber.
He did a lot of flippy stuff. He was out of that world, but...
For most of episode 2, I felt like I was, like, missing the companion guide that was supposed to go with the movie.
You know what?
Where are we? Who is that? Why is that bitch's neck so long? What is going on here?
Is that a shapeshifter? What's a Jango Fett? Like, if you just cut out everything in the movie that's not... Like, if you just cut everything down to, like, maybe a half an hour, and you've got the Obi-Wan mystery movie thing where he's trying to figure out what's going on with the clone army, that shit's cool as hell. And, you know, Jango Fett shows up, Sam Jackson cuts his head off, Yoda and Count Dooku fight, which is physically cool, but I still kind of feel like the mythology of Yoda works better if you never see him be a badass. Like,
yeah, I would agree with that, too.
And it just never needed to happen. But at least when it did happen, it was fucking cool.
Anybody can look like a badass next to 78-year-old Christopher Lee.
I disagree. Christopher Lee's a fucking badass.
He kind of is.
Yeah, he was mostly CGI in that scene.
Nope.
Don't give a shit.
All real.
Did you see him kill all those fucking whatever the hell they were in the last Hobbit movie?
Yeah,
that shit was amazing. That was no stunt double. That was all Christopher Lee.
He actually killed people in that movie.
He did.
If you notice at the end of the credits in that movie, they don't have the "no actors were harmed in the filming of this movie" shit.
Because they were.
Actors were fucking harmed. Didn't you pay attention?
Okay, listen, I'm just gonna come out and say it. Best prequel thing was the Clone Wars cartoon that they did. I'm just gonna say it. That was good.
Right.
That was
right.
Bad.
Dean's
the
absolutely
new Clone
right.
Clone Wars cartoon is really good too.
Oh, Rebels?
Yeah.
I haven't seen it.
Yeah, I can't believe it's actually related to Clone Wars. That's the thing that blows my mind. Like, I haven't actually seen it, but I know what happens, and I know how it relates to Clone Wars, and now I have to watch it. Because, holy crap, that stuff's awesome.
Hey, video games.
Hey, anyway, video games.
That's
Star Wars.
Cast, you know,
jeez,
I love Star Wars.
All right, so yeah, Episode 1 Racer. I never played the PC version. I played the N64 version. I remember I was working at Funko Land when that came out. I remember it being totally cool. Like, it was... all the rage. There was the N64 edition that came with it in that black box with the racist Italian Watto on it. And
yeah, the actual system itself wasn't different in any way whatsoever.
No,
not
at all.
Stick it in a new box and put a game in there.
Which
Watto
was...
eating some meatballs on the front. Jesus, dude. Why do you have a black and white striped shirt on?
He's the referee.
What? I think that's a French thing.
Is that a French thing? I don't know. I'm not a racist.
He's got a neckerchief and a baguette in his hand.
I don't think that French is a race.
Totally is.
Whatever.
10 out of 10.
Yeah, fuck them all. Anyway, yeah, Episode 1 Racer. Good call. It's a pretty cool racing game. It's no Star Wars Super Bombad Racing for PlayStation 2, but it'll do.
What is, though? I mean,
yeah, really, what is?
Come right down
when
to
you've
it.
Got a when you've made an adorable cartoon Darth Maul on a tiny spaceship racing through the forests of Endor for some reason, you know you've hit the ultimate in Star Wars gaming. It's the pinnacle right there.
Well, fuck spoilers, that's what I was going to talk about, Chris.
It's funny.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah, so Star Wars Episode 1 Racer, totally awesome game. Go buy it, play it, find it in an arcade, and live the dream. And we're going to take ourselves a quick break, and we're going to come back, and we'll talk about mine and Dan's favorite Star Wars games. Stick around. And now, here's a look at some of the other original content available right now at Geekade.com.
Hey, First, what happens when you combine talented musicians with a love of wrestling? You get something awesome. That's what. Check out Why I Love Wrestling, The Mountain Goats. Beat the Champ, because I didn't talk about it with anyone.
Next, there have been a ton of James Bond movies over the years, but which Bond is the best Bond?
Gold Bond medicated powder.
Ha ha! Zing.
I was terrible.
I am terrible.
Destiny Bond?
Also, it's not Roger Moore. Which Bond is the best Bond? Never mind, I have to think about that for a while.
Kendrick
Enjoy
Elba.
John's Geek A Top 10 James Bond movies.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, Dan.
You know what's all the rage these days?
I really don't. Is it premium saltine crackers?
Okay. You know, hey, Chris.
Hey, Dan.
You know what's all the rage these days other than premium saltine crackers?
Is it Superman socks?
Hey, Chris.
Hey, Dan.
You know what's all the rage these days other than premium saltine crackers and Superman socks?
Marge DeFalco pogs.
Marge DeFalco!
In pog form.
Dude, everybody fucking loves pogs. They were. How could any of you have purchased that? It was cardboard with pictures on it, you assholes.
No, I had some pretty awesome cards. Some of mine were holographic foils.
I got a Marge DeFalco slammer, son. What?
Ooh, I had that good kind that had like the finger indentations in it, so you could like really
Ew.
Like get. Don't be gross.
You know what? Hold
Pogs
on.
Pogs is an innocent children's game. You don't need to take it there.
We were almost done.
Hey, J Payne.
Yeah.
You know what's all the rage these days?
What?
Marvel movies, or at least that's what the kids are saying,
no,
and they've. Those kids, they won't fucking shut up. They're like, Marvel movies, have you fucking seen the Marvel movie? There's an Ant-Man movie. Did you know that there was a direct-to-DVD Man-Thing movie? I'm like, you're 11. Why the fuck do you know about Man-Thing?
And
like,
also, why are you a 76-year-old man named Morty in Florida?
I don't know.
Get right out of town.
Oh. It is. It is marvelous. And that's also what Brand... No, fuck. That doesn't work at all. Brandis and Travis have lots to say about the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Tune in to Apathetic Enthusiasm, Episode 11, the Marvel Movie Roundup, for more Marvel movie talk than you can shake a Loki Pokey stick at. That's what the fucking thing is. It's the Loki Pokey stick.
Loki more than you stick. Can shake a Hulk at.
That shit doesn't shake, it thuds.
You know, I'm trying to make a good show here, and... It's turning into Tom Green up in here. You guys need to be controlling
Tom
yourself. Tom
Green? Yes. I can put my bum on anything. Fuck. Certainly not on your lips.
Green.
Oh, that was amazing.
I think we need to have serious conversations about my involvement in the future of this show. You guys are getting a little too lowbrow for me.
Speaking of lowbrow...
I am a class act.
There's a Galaxy Quest comic... And Dean professes his undying affection for Sigourney Weaver in that movie.
Hottest she has ever God. Been, ever.
Just,
Tawny
just,
can
just
get it.
Just.
Be sure to check out issue 32 of the Paper Cuts podcast, Tasteful Hair and Makeup. And don't miss all of this and more great podcasts, articles, videos, and more over at geekade.com. Everybody, we are back. We had ourselves a wonderful break talking about beer and Old Bay and how the two should never, ever be combined.
No, they should
no.
not.
That is a force to be reckoned with.
Speaking of force.
Yay! Segways. So I'm going to go next, and I'm going to talk about The Empire Strikes Back for the Atari 2600. I love this game. It's pretty basic. It's pretty simple. It's kind of stupid. It's actually a lot of stupid. But I have a really fun story about the way I played it. I didn't actually play it when I was a kid. I never had this game when I was younger. But when I started really collecting games, probably like mid-high school or something, I was starting to get a lot of Atari collections. And one of the Atari collections I got off of somebody included a game that had no label on it, and it was a Parker Brothers release because they had a very specific type of cartridge shape, the Parker Brothers games. And I just kind of assumed it was Frogger or Spider-Man or something and moved on. And I never really bothered with it. And maybe like 3 or 4 years later, I eventually got around to trying it out. And I popped it in and I was like, the hell is this game? And I pressed the reset button because that's usually how you start Atari games. And it goes, do, 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 do. And I'm like, what the Star Wars? And I start flying this little dot around, and a fucking Atari 2600 AT-AT is shooting at me. And I'm like, oh my god, this is a Star Wars game. I didn't even know there was a Star Wars game on Atari. Because it was like, you know, I was young, there wasn't a whole lot of internet back then. And I was blown away by this thing. So you're flying around a snowspeeder. It's basically just, it's just the Hoth level. And there's nothing else to it but you blowing up AT-ATs over and over again, infinity, until you die or the game just ends. You just kind of fly around, and you can fly like through their legs, and you can shoot little exhaust ports or whatever will open up on them from time to time, and they're like little glowing dots, and you can shoot one of those once, and it'll just blow up the whole AT-AT. And not much in the way of graphics, not much you can do with it. I think if you hit a bunch of them in a row, you get force powers, and it starts playing the Star Wars theme again. And man, to hear the Star Wars theme coming out of an Atari, it's so cool. It's just so cool. And yeah, that's pretty much it. Like, it was just such a fun surprise. Like, here's this little game with no label. Turns out it's a Star Wars game, and I didn't even know it existed. And there's a couple more. There was, like, a Jedi Arena, which was kind of cool, where you use the paddle controllers and you swing lightsabers at each other. It looks incredibly silly, but it's kind of a fun game. But this Empire Strikes Back game was, like, it was super cool to me, and I still think it's a neat game. It's just a really simple side-scrolling shooter, but I love it. Anyway,
it was like a really, really basic Defender.
Yeah. It reminds me
so
a lot
much
of
about
Defender.
Star Wars is basic. I feel like we should call this episode like
Basic Bitch.
Basic Bitch Star Wars. Basic Star Wars Bitch. Basic Star Wars. Don't say bitch. That's a terrible word.
I remember like going over to my friend Nick's house when I was a kid, and Nick had the Atari in his basement, right? I never owned an Atari. And I remember how incredibly, and this is a weird thing to remember about this, but I remember how incredibly silver the label art was. Like, because the cartridge,
it was,
like,
it was like on the edge of holographic, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's
yeah,
such a
very rarely
striking silver.
Like, almost reflective, but not quite. Like, it was very
yeah.
silver.
It was, it like, that is just burned into my memory, because so many of the Atari games were like, when you looked at them, and everybody had some sort of case to keep them all in, right? And you had, you know, like, they were like old VHS cases. They were super shitty looking, and everything was wood grained and just nonsense. But then you would pull it out and you would have the games, and they were kind of a shitty font and sort of dull colors. And then there was this incredibly bright, vibrant, striking silver game, and it was like, that's the one I'm playing. I have to play this game. And you're right. You go left and right and you shoot some AT-ATs. And it was amazing. Absolutely incredible.
Yeah, it was just neat to be able to play a Star Wars game. Like, I can't imagine what I would have been, how much I would have loved it when I was really little. Like, that probably would have been amazing to me, but unfortunately, I didn't get to play it until later, but I was really glad to have played it, and it's still one of my more fond Atari 2600 memories. And you know, it's just cool stuff. Like, I love that the different shaped cartridges, like the Parker Brothers carts, are just have a really cool design. And they did silver on a bunch of their stuff, and then eventually Data Age did a bunch of silver releases too. Like my when we talked back on the Guilty Pleasures podcast, the Journey Escape game was a Data Age game, and also has a very, very silver cover. Like, Frogger was probably my favorite Parker Brothers Atari game, very silver cover on that too. But the Star Wars one, because I eventually got another copy of the game, I think I have it complete in the box, and it's just really neat looking, really, 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 really cool game. And Dean is wearing his headphones to look like Geordi LaForge.
Yes, you got it.
Way to do a Star Trek reference on the Star Wars episode, Dean.
On the non-video version.
Do we have a video? That has to be a thing sooner or later. I gotta get that going.
Okay.
Are you guys filming me right now? I'm not okay with that.
You have to, legally, you have to disclose that we're being filmed.
You're being filmed.
Oh, okay.
It's not on film. It's all digital.
I should probably put on pants then.
Speaking of pants, hey, Dan, so what was your game?
Knights of the Old Republic. The original, not Old Republic, the online game, because I cannot play massively multiplayer online RPGs. They will suck my life away, so I don't know if that one's any good. Knights of the Old Republic 2, which was made by Obsidian Entertainment, not BioWare, is one of the most disappointing sequels, and I think one of the worst Star Wars games ever made. But the original Knights of the Old Republic came out in 2003 exclusively for the Microsoft Xbox, made by BioWare. That game is one of my favorite games of that generation, and is by far my favorite Star Wars game. Like, I hedge between, or I, you know, I wasn't sure if I wanted to talk about Battlefront 2, because I know how much people love that game, and I really do enjoy that game. It's a lot of fun. But for me, it really has to come down to Knights of the Old Republic. Now, Chris, I'm pretty sure you've played it. Dean, I'm pretty sure you've played it, right?
Actually, no, I have not played Knights of the Old Republic.
Well, I'm about to spoil a 12-year-old game for you, so
You won't be the first.
Okay. Tiff, you watched me play this one, right? We played this together.
Don't diminish my involvement. I helped you through many of
You helped. You helped me make decisions. Choices. All right, so in BioWare RPGs, if you've played Dragon Age or Mass Effect, then you know from BioWare RPGs. But if you've never played those games, as you play through them, you have your traditional role-playing elements. The battles can be active time battles. They can be turn-based battle systems, depending on how you want to play it. There is a deep level of customization in so far as how your character looks and the weapons that they use and the fighting style. You can spend your ability points. Like, it is a very, very customizable game. But it was one of the first games that I played, and it may have been the first game that I played, where you were able to make conversation choices. And you could basically go between two options. You could go light side or dark side. And as you made your choices of being either a nice guy or an asshole, pretty much, when you would look at your character profile screen, you were either standing very tall and very proud and you had blue lights shining up behind you, or you were kind of hunched over and evil looking and you had a bunch of red lights shining up behind you if you were heading towards the dark side.
As you do.
Like you do. About halfway through the game, there is a giant plot twist that, when you go back and look at it, was incredibly obvious from the get-go. But the whole story is based around Darth Malak, who has taken over for Darth Revan. Darth Revan was defeated in battle by the Jedis, and he was just the greatest Sith warrior that there ever had been. And Darth Malak is even nastier and even better than he was. And this is the guy that we're going to fight. And about halfway through the game, it is revealed that the character that you create is, in fact, Darth Revan. And it is still to this day one of the most incredible moments in a video game. When the camera pans around and your character model that you have been building, the way that you designed the face and all the different options that you gave to it, is underneath of Darth Revan's mask. It's like, it's one of those rare moments in games where you literally drop the controller on the floor and you're like, well, fuck, I need a minute. I'm going to have to step away here. The rest of the game really is just, from that point on, you becoming stronger and stronger in the Force, picking which powers you want to use. If you go dark side, you can use Force Choke and Force Lightning and all that shit. If you go light side, you can heal people. You get to control a bunch of other characters. There's an android robot thing in there called HK-47 who calls humans meat sacks most of the time, which is pretty great. He's really funny. It's just an incredible game.
There's no Elcors. I don't want to play it.
There's what?
There's no Elcors. I don't want to play it.
Okay.
I've heard almost universally great things about this game, and I really want to play it. I think I have it somewhere. It's just one of those things that I just never got around to doing because it didn't seem like I had the time at the time when it came out. I was very, very busy, and everyone was talking about it, and I was kind of on this weird fence position, like anything dealing with non 4, 5, and 6 Star Wars, I was kind of angry at. So I didn't really want to jump right into it, but at the same token, it just seemed like such a cool game and such a cool look for the Star Wars universe and a cool take on it. And I don't know why I just never got around to it. Now hooking up an Xbox and playing it isn't exactly accessible. Like I have it.
Sure, sure.
It's not the easiest game to play.
There has been a version released, I think, in 2013 for iOS and Android. So it is playable on a phone. It is playable on a tablet.
Is it playable though?
Like, I don't know. I haven't tried. Hmm. I know it's out. I will. I will admit to, like, when this game came out, I was working in Glassboro at Game Crazy, and my store,
hey, me too,
did not do a lot of business, and we had demo kiosks. So I opened up Knights of the Old Republic, and I put about 50 to 60 hours of that into that game on the clock, and it was awesome. Like, that might be why I love it that much more.
I watched,
because you were being paid to play it.
Yeah, literally, my store, like, would have deposits of $20. It was like cricket silence in there most of the time.
Can't imagine why that company went out of business.
Yeah, me neither.
I know, but that's how we met.
It is. Aww. But I remember, like,
sorry,
yelling over to Tiff as she worked on the Hollywood video side, of Tiff, you gotta come here. My guy just got a lightsaber. It's black. It's fucking awesome, right? Like,
watch me change the crystal in this lightsaber for an hour and a half during your shift today. It'll be great.
Which one do you like? Do you like the yellow one or the purple one?
Okay, I think we should do the purple crystal, but then we should do the prismatic lens that goes in front of the crystal that changes it ever so slightly from the purple.
Nerds.
Yep, that's what I got paid to do.
Our love is based on.
Grab by the ghoulies was better. The greatest rare game to have ever been made.
So, to steal from Dean, 10 out of 10.
10 out of
Knights 10. Of the Old Republic is fucking incredible. If you are a Star Wars fan that has never played this, I understand because it came out of the time of the prequel movies and everybody was like, I don't want to fucking touch anything, like you said, Chris, that isn't 4, 5, and 6. But this story is set like 10,000 years before the Skywalker shit.
Yeah.
So none of it, there's none of it there. You know, you don't even get a hint of it.
So yeah, Knights of the Old Republic, fantastic game, pretty much across the board. Everybody loves that one. And yeah, I also heard that the second one was a piece of garbage. So yay that. But I mean, this is just scratching the surface. There's so many good Star Wars games. Like,
well, Battlefront, the vector-based
Lego Star Wars.
Arcade of, yeah, Lego Star Wars.
I was super torn about doing Lego Star Wars because Lego Star Wars, you can really say, kind of invented a genre.
Yeah, the Lego games are kind of their own thing.
The Lego games are, how many of them? There's like a million of them now. Like, a literal millions of Legos. And all of that started with Lego Star Wars, which was amazing.
Yeah.
Also, one of the few Star Wars games that didn't try to be like, look at our expanded universe. Nope, I'm just going to show you scenes from the movie and you're going to put some Legos together.
Yeah, pretty much.
And that was pretty satisfying.
Rogue Squadron was incredible. The Rogue Squadron 2, I think, hid a Naboo cruiser in it and nobody discovered it until after the episode 2 came out, which was insane. I don't know, all kinds of crazy stuff. Like
Force Unleashed is really
Force
good.
Force Unleashed,
the
TIE Fighter for PC and X-Wing, all that stuff. So many good Star Wars games, so many bad Star Wars games. But yeah, there's so much.
There's a lot of bad.
Yeah, there's a lot of bad. Wars Masters of Taras Kassi can bite the fattest part of my ass. I hate that game.
That game should have been the best game ever. A fighting game with lightsabers? How could you fuck that up? Oh, wait. That's how. Play that game. You'll see how they fucked it up.
Oh, yeah, they did. They did it then. They did it again with that Clone Wars fighting game on the Wii.
Oh, God.
Hey.
Yeah, but then Yoda showed up in Soul Calibur and everything was great again?
No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't.
I really
shut your filthy mouth. You loved it.
I did not love it. I did not love Mitsurugi fighting against fucking Yoda and the fact that Yoda and Darth Vader couldn't fight one another because they were console exclusives. Yeah. And why is Darth Vader in a medieval sword fighting game? No.
Because it's awesome.
Because it's dumb.
Metal, though, so.
I don't know. I really wanted them to make. I really wanted to Team make Soul or whoever the Project Soul. I wanted them to then make a Star Wars fighting game.
I wanted them to just do that so in the first place. Like, oh, I know what we're going to do. We're going to apply the lightsaber. They're going to apply Soul Calibur's fighting mechanics to lightsabers. Why don't we make a Star Wars fighting game? Nah, fuck it. Let's borrow the rights to these exclusive characters, split them across two different platforms, and make it into a Soul Calibur game for no good reason. Like, these characters don't make any sense in that universe. Not that the universe makes a whole lot of sense to begin with, but holy shit, this is just like, this is bringing a pumpkin to a knife fight, to quote Dean. Like, this was so far out of left field. The tiny shred, the fingernail clippings that they were hanging on to, a shred of dignity in the Soul Calibur universe. They were just like, fuck those fingernail clippings. Fuck any credibility. We're putting Star Wars in Soul Calibur. Fuck you. Instead of making an actual an actual good lightsaber fighting game. Remember when they tried to make a lightsaber fighting game with the Wii remote and it should have been the best thing in the history of mankind and they fucked it up?
Nope.
Soul Calibur. Lightsabers should have been amazing. Instead, it was fucking Soul Calibur. It was a fucking samurai sword against a lightsaber. And I'm supposed to believe for a split second that Darth Vader wouldn't just stand on the other side of the room and force choke everybody and not even bother turning on his goddamn lightsaber. No, absolutely no. Fuck that game. Yoda in Soul Calibur was stupid. Period.
Okay. It needed more spawn.
It
needed way less spawn. Let's be honest.
Everything needs less spawn. Spawn needs less spawn. But anyway, to wrap things up, Star Wars games, they're cool and clearly divisive. So Dean, do the thing.
Wait, Dean, hold on. I'm sorry. Your favorite game of all time is Angry Birds.
Oh, yeah.
How do you feel about Star Wars Angry Birds? I love that Jess chuckled in the background. It's awesome.
He's just kind of staring off into the distance right now. All right, now he's pulling up to the mic. He's thinking about it. He's ready. He's ready.
You're
to
staring
re-
off
ready to respond.
About how much you love those.
No, he's looked away again. Oh, he's back. He's back to the mic. It's gonna happen.
You could.
You almost made me spit out my beer, sir.
You're welcome. Show notes. They're a thing. We do them. You should take a look at them. Airplanes fly over my house. I'm going to talk over them. And while I'm doing that, you should just scroll down a little bit and look at the show notes. There's things for Twitter, Facebook, YouTubes, Tumblrs, Grindr, Tinder, whatever you want. I don't know what you guys are into nowadays, but it's all there. Whatever the kids do, you know.
Basically things that end in "-er."
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, because that's all they do. Twitter. I think the only thing that's around. Yeah, Facebooker.
MySpace.
MySpacer.
FaceSpace.
FaceSpacer. Whatever. It's all there.
Your book. Skype book.
Yeah, and, you know, you could get links to our website and shit on there, too. And I maybe we'll list some of the games we talked about because I already forgot half of them. So, yeah.
You're not supposed to admit that, Dean. Fuck.
Yeah, but we talked about so many games, and then we talked about crab beer and stuff. So I'm gonna list the crab beer. I'm gonna put that in the show notes.
It's a good plan. Yes, it's a good plan.
Single entry, Dead Rise. Anyway, check out the show notes because that's where we put all the information and links to our stuff. So if you check that out, you definitely have a good chance of knowing what the fuck we're talking about. So do that.
Yes, do that, and I'm going to shamelessly ask you to go to iTunes and like us, because giving us good iTunes reviews or just reviewing us on iTunes at all, be honest, doesn't matter if it's super good or super bad, but it helps us get our show out to more people, and
really
we want
does.
More people listening to the show,
yeah.
It's a good time.
I mean, there's people all the way in China listening to us. Shout out to people in China. Shout out to the person in China listening to us.
Absolutely.
Big fan of the show.
Big fan of the show. And so, we're big fans of you.
We are big fans of you, so... Keep on listening, and are we going to be back next week, Chris?
We are going to be back next week. Next week, we moved things around because this is the Star Wars episode for the whole May 4th business. So next week we're going to come back with our games of April, our favorite games of April. And I was convinced I was going to do one thing, and then I found quite another, and it's going to be awesome. So thanks everybody for listening. This has been episode 47 of the Stone Age Gamer Podcast. On behalf of Dean, Dan, and Tiff, thank you and good night.
Don't speak for me.
Dean, what game are you talking about?
Bubsy.
Okay, good. Chris, what game are you talking about?
Empire Strikes Back for Atari 2600.
You son of a bitch. Jess, what game are you talking about?
I'm not talking about.
God damn it, Jess.
Then shut up.
I'm insane.
I'm just kidding. I totally love you.